Psalms 91.
Psalms 91.
That's a good psalm for what I just said.
Amen. You know, Mary, that psalm at the funeral yesterday, Lord knows my name, you know, I've never heard that psalm. I've heard versions like that. That was a beautiful psalm and perfect for the family there. I mean, to bring comfort and the Holy Spirit greatly used that psalm to bring comfort.
No, there's a girl named Tan.
Psalms 91. But I want to kind of flip the pancake and per se, and let's look at another angle of this.
Okay.
Psalms 91, starting in verse 14, says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and I will honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." I looked up this psalm, and it was attributed, David wrote it, but it was attributed to Moses. Hmm. And I got to thinking of the Apostle John. You know, I've been talking on Peter here the last couple of weeks, but John, he really bore in my mind, you know, for this fit him, because John, you know, he was the only apostle that didn't die, you know, a martyr's death, you know. Mm-hmm. The Lord delivered, you know, they tried to stick him in the oil, you know, that wouldn't work, that's boiling. So they finally put him on the island, and, you know, he received all that from the Lord. But, you know, he didn't die on that island. He went on to Ephesus, Church of Ephesus, and in his later years, they don't know exactly when he died, but it's somewhere 100 A.D. But church history has it, even as a old man, you know, they carry him to church and more or less propped him up in the pulpit, and all they talk about is love. Mm. You know, and people kind of got aggravated with him, saying, "John, you ain't got no more than, you know, than love." He said, "Well, it's a command of God."
Yes.
"Children, you know, love one another." He never will get off the love message. And you know, and there we see that. Mm-hmm. He set his love upon him.
Yes.
And the Lord honored him, didn't he? You know,
yes,
he gave him the book of Revelation to write, you know, and five books all total.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think about, you know, Lord, you think it's the book of Revelation, you know, he'd give it to Paul or somebody, you know, Paul being the mind of the day. But, you know, he'd give it to John to write.
Yes.
And he honored him. And you know, John was known as the beloved, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was always right there loving on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus never did rebuke him. He didn't, man. He knew the love of God.
Yeah.
And he gives it, you know. Last week, Mary, that so blessed me that, you know, what you spoke out last week, I know that was from the Holy Spirit. You know, the Lord, you know, just going to show his love to us.
Amen.
And the scriptures tell us, you know, in the last day, love many will grow and wax cold, but I believe the love of many will increase.
Amen.
Also, and I think of John here in Ephesus. You know, the Lord sent him there. You know, as pastor, but you know, there in the book of Ephesus, it talks about you lost your first love.
Mm-hmm.
And that old John boy there was, you know, kind of filled him up. You know. Help them out. And that's just like the Lord, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where there's a lack, a need, the Lord sends somebody there to encourage them and lift them up. But I think, man, we got great days ahead.
Amen.
And the love of God. Share something with you. Now, UPS man, he come in a couple of weeks ago and we was talking, and he goes to an old denominational Methodist church. His granddaddy started it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, he said, "Man, I'm so frustrated. He said, we've been looking around, you know, going to other churches. He said, but all they talk about is politics in the church.
Yeah.
You know, the pastor in the pulpit says all he knows is politics and this, whether gays and all this can be, you know. And, mm-hmm. and he said, I'm just so frustrated with that. I told myself, you need to find you another church. But you know, the love of many, what Paul went back to, love many, you know, they've forgotten. I'll end with this. Say to a woman the other day, Christian television, I don't know whether she had a vision of the Lord or was caught up heaven or what, but her words was, the Lord told her, you go back and you tell everybody about the cross mm-hmm. and my love.
Amen.
And that's what it all boils down
yes,
to, the cross and his love.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. Let's pray. Come on.
Hey, did you get pastor? I'm looking at the window. I don't
Lord,
see
thank
him.
You for loving us.
Thank you
for Jesus' word that tells us to love us.
Yes.
You love us enough to give you life. Amen. Lord, that's enough for me. Amen.
Amen.
Can't nobody do more than that.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you
for your great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be teaching. I didn't get into this the last time I talked. But today I'm going to teach from a Bible prayer of Kenneth Hagin, where he talks about prayer. Now, what we were studying on in here was the glory. The next move of the church is the greater glory, not just glory. Because we are carriers of glory. The glory on the inside of us. We go from glory to glory. But we're about to step into a greater glory. Greater than we've ever seen. Greater than we ever known. When we studied the book of Acts, we see some amazing things that the church accomplished and did. And a lot of that was through the glory of God. We talk about Peter's shadow. Overshadowing people and healing. But the greater glory is going to surpass a lot of things. We're going to get to the point where we just speak and it happens. We don't have to go through the laying of hands and all this and because the crowd is going to be so great. We're about to step into that greater glory. Because God is coming back at a what kind of church?
Glorious church.
Y'all said it like you know it. I mean, one thing I can say about it, you know, sometimes we just coming back out of glorious church, you know. Say it out like you know it, you know the answer. That's what God is coming back for, is a glorious church. Because he's not, you know, a lot of people saying, you know, he could come back tomorrow. He could. But he's going to have to do something very glorious. He's going to have to really, really, really increase it. But before he come back here for us, he's going to come to us in a way that the world going to know we've been here.
Amen.
We're not going to go out here and the world don't know that we've been here.
Yes.
Church.
It's not going to go out and it's a defeated church.
Exactly.
You said that
victorious church.
That's the word, defeated. We're not going out as a defeated church. We're going out as a victorious church. So we've been talking about the glory of God, but you can't talk about the glory of God without talking about praise and worship.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Those are the two things that brings in the glory.
Amen.
Praise and worship. You can't do nothing higher than worship. The prayer of praise and worship. We're talking about it in the prayer form today. We're not talking about it in songs or, you know, however praise and worship come. But we're talking about the prayer of praise and worship. That's the highest form of prayer. What's the highest form of prayer?
Praise and worship.
Praise and worship. Why you say it's the highest form of prayer? You ain't asking God for nothing. You ministering to him.
Amen. Glory.
You know, we love God to give us, give us, give us, give us. But when you can come back and give him. David said, what shall I render? What shall I give him? I mean, what can you give God? You know, a friend of mine have a problem with giving a gift to a friend that she have that have everything. She said, what can I give her? She got everything, you know? Yep. And, you know, but, you know, you may look at God this way. He made the, I mean, what can I give him? Me. You can give him you through praise and worship. Worship is so important until that's all the Satan wanted. When he came against, when he tempted God in the tempted Jesus in the wilderness, all he wanted was worship. He said, if you just bow down and worship me, I give you everything. All you want is the kingdoms, and I give you the kingdoms. If I can get you to bow down and worship. So you see how important worship is. See, worship come from the heart. It don't just come out of the mind. When you worship, it comes out of a... You know, I was... had a friend that had... had this young... She was younger then. She was... her daughter was younger. And she just idolized. She just worshipped this singer. I mean, she just worshipped this, idolized her. She just, you know, but I was telling this sister, I was telling her, I said, let's bring her out of that want to worship and idolize this person, because it wasn't good music. Because whoever you worship and idolize, that's who you become like. You do. If you worship and idolizing Jesus, guess what?
You become like Jesus.
You're going to come like Jesus. So she finally got her daughter out of that situation, you know, through prayer. Because mom going to pray through prayer and just, you know. And she began to see that this young rock star got on drugs and did this, did that, and she went, whoa. Yeah. She didn't know all the backdrops behind. You know, they knew they loved her, but it was a lot going on in this kid's life. And so it's very important when you worship, you become like that person you worship. So it's important that we worship. That's the reason it says we go from glory to glory, because we're worshiping. We're changing. When you get that worship with the Lord, praise and worship, you're changing.
Amen.
You're changing. It changed you into his image. You become more like him. That's one thing the enemy fight is worship. He don't want you to worship God Almighty, because he know, oh, they're going to become more like him, and they're going to really be really, really, really bad for me. But you may not be able to enter into it like you want to, but just enter it in from day to day. Put that into your, until it just, want it to be a lifestyle. Everything you do, put it on a worship level. Everything you do, put it on a worship level. We're going to get into this today. We're going to go to Acts 13, 1 and 4. Acts 13, 1 and 4. And we're going to say that another name for praise and worship would be ministering to the Lord. You know, most of the time, I just don't say praise or worship. I just say, Lord, I just want to minister to you. And it just makes it connect better. When you just say, Lord, I want to minister to you. I don't want, you know, you're not asking him for nothing. But you just want to minister to him. And you can't do that because he made you what? What did he make you? Priest and king.
That's
That's right.
And that's what opened those prison doors, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, we're gonna talk about that. You are so right about that.
There was an article in Kenneth Copeland's magazine about Mandy.
A little louder, Mary.
There was an article in Kenneth Copeland magazine about Mandy New, and all he did was worship and praise God, and everything was taken care of.
Yeah.
Whoa. Now, I didn't read that article, but that sounds, hey, that sounds pretty good, though, don't it? I didn't read that one, but.
I'm sure in the spirit, when he's praying in the spirit, he was asking and do, you know. But as far as his understanding and his speaking, most all the time, it was just praising and worshiping, giving God glory. And everybody was taken care of, everything.
That's good. That's good. Because a lot of things happens in his presence.
Ooh, glory.
We're always, God is always present.
Yes, amen.
But we're not always in his presence because we're so tied up on situations, circumstances, problems, this, that, you know. But getting into his presence, because he's always present. I never pray, Lord, be with us. That's a wrong prayer to pray when he said, I never leave you or I never forsake you. I never pray, Lord, be with us today. No, and let's not pray that way. We pray, Lord, I thank you that you're with me. And because you're with me, praise God. Now, in this book, there is a lot of prayers. I mean, all kinds of different prayers. And don't stop praying those different prayers. But if you do praise and worship, you're going to pray less petition prayers of asking for things. Let's go to Acts 13, 1 through 4. Let me see what time I'm dealing with. 5 minutes. Okay. It reads, Acts 13, 1 and 4, now there was in the church, that was Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, so minister to the Lord, what were they doing? Praise. What's another?
Praising and worship.
Okay, as they praised and worship him. The Holy Ghost says, separate the Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. You know, they ministered unto the Lord. And then the Holy Ghost says, so in ministering to the Lord, he'll speak back to you. They was really into ministering to the Lord. And the Holy Ghost said, we need the Holy Ghost to be doing more talking now, giving us directions, giving us things to do, that we're just not doing a lot of things that we want done, but things he want done. This is what he wanted done. And he told him to separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called. He had already called them to a work. But by them ministering into the Lord and fasted, they got the right work. Because sometimes we're doing a lot of work. I mean, we're wearing ourselves out. But is it what the Holy Spirit wants? Is it what God wants you to do for right then? It could be a good work. Don't get it twisted. But is that what he called you unto? We see the Holy Ghost is working with them as they minister to the Lord. Okay, we're going to go to Acts. As we go to Acts 13. Okay, I have 2 minutes. I wanted to go to... It's a lot in here, so I'm trying to see where I can go and give it to, okay, my sister brought up Paul and Silas. I wasn't going to that one, but it's in here too, where they talks about Acts 16 and 25, where they're talking about ministering to the Lord brings deliverance. And that's what it was talking about when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto the Lord. That it brought their deliverance. You know, they wasn't there complaining. Saul wasn't, I mean, Paul wasn't telling, you got me in this. I wouldn't be here, Silas, if you had just not said so, or Silas wasn't saying to Paul, Paul, you talk too much. You're always getting us in trouble. Most of the time, that's what people do. They play the blame game on each other. But they didn't do that. They ministered to the Lord, both of them. There was unity there. Because, see, let me tell you the condition these guys was in. They had been beaten. They had, if the beating wasn't enough, they put them down into the worst of worst area of the prison.
Yep.
Where they lock you down and, your body was locked down. Naturally, they were locked down, but not spiritually. Because their spirit was still flowing with the Holy Ghost. Ministering to the Lord brings deliverance. Now, they wasn't doing this for God to get them out of jail or anything. They just do what a lifestyle they had. And it, when it becomes your lifestyle in any situation, any circumstances you're in, you'll give him the praise. You'll give him the glory. And deliverance just didn't come for Paul and Silas, but it came for the other jailers.
Yeah.
Hmm? Mm-hmm. Paul spoke up and said, "We all here." Mm-hmm. And why could he say that? He could say that because they had been ministering to the Lord. And it says, and the prisoners heard them ministering to the Lord. Now, the writer wouldn't have put all that in there, because the Bible tells much more that they could have put into the Bible, but it wouldn't have been able to hold it all. But he specifically put that in there so you know something took place, a change.
All the books in the Bible could contain, all the books in the world could contain, is what it said.
That's the correct statement of, that's the correct, all.
So that's letting you know something right there. There's a lot of books. There's always been a lot of books. This ain't nothing new what we got going on right now. It's always been there. So that's letting you know, man, God did a lot more in 3.5 years than many, 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 many lifetimes of everybody.
That's true.
A lot of times, too, it was an honor for them to suffer.
Yeah, they came out praising God for suffering for his name's sake.
Yeah.
They had that attitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what do? We whine and complain. We
just a little bit.
A lot of people say, this what it, since I started living for the Lord, I ain't had nothing but trouble. You know,
I've heard that.
Yeah. You know, this what it's about. But they thought it was an honor to suffer for the Lord.
Yeah.
And see, they had not done anything wrong.
Mm-mm.
Most of the time, we're in trouble because we've done something wrong. We've said something wrong.
Right, exactly.
You know, but they hadn't done nothing wrong.
Mm-mm.
Not to.
In fact, they'd done everything right.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just sitting there. They were doing things right.
Being obedient.
That's it.
The truth.
Yeah.
That's it. But then they didn't, and it said it was at midnight when you want to just go to sleep. You've been beaten, you've been, mm-hmm. you know, everything has happened. You just want to go to sleep. You want to go to sleep like Peter did. Peter just fell off into a deep sleep. He said, "I'm going to get killed like John, so I might as well just sleep it off." You know, I mean, the angel had to. It said the angel had to shake him. "Peter, get up. You got to get out of here." Because he just fell off to sleep. He just, you know. But the church prayed.
Amen.
But they didn't have the church praying for them.
Well, I heard somebody say the other day, Peter wasn't worried about it because God had already told him how he was going to die. You know, an old man, somebody would...
You know, God can tell you. God can tell you that, but when circumstances and situation overwhelm you like that,
yeah,
your thoughts are not going there. Your thoughts are like, "Hey, they done killed one of them. I'm next." You know.
Yeah, the enemy will put them thoughts in there.
You ain't thinking about what Jesus mm-hmm. said the way he's going to, you know, die an old man and stuff like that. But we see here that deliverance came not only to them. I mean, sometimes we want to see deliverance. Mm-hmm. Not only for ourselves, but for other people.
Yep.
And we need to take that time and minister to the Lord. I didn't get half on here. But what I'm going to do is after 10, so I'm going to have to let Apostle come on and get his time in. But I'm sure y'all got the gist of that. And I don't know if I come back next Sunday and finish this up. But we want to move into that praise and more worship.
Oh, yeah.
We don't stop doing all the other things you do. Mm-hmm. Because this is important that we incorporate that more in our lives from day to day. Just make it a lifestyle, mm-hmm, of just praising and worshiping God.
Yeah.
And you'll see how change come.
Yeah.
Come on, Apostle. God bless.
Smith Wigglesworth, that's the first thing he did when he got out of bed in the morning. He danced a jig and praised the Lord. First thing he did when he got out of bed in the morning, me, I have to drag myself to the car.
Hey, it's different. We're looking for that coffee pot. Where's the coffee? And I'm sure it was morning when he got up. He didn't feel like dancing and praising and worshiping God.
He did it anyway.
He did. It was a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a life. He had just put that into his life. Mm-hmm. And I heard somebody say when they were downstairs, they could hear him, you know, just jumping and praising the Lord. And folks were like, what is that up there? Oh, it's just, people was so used to always just Smith Wigglesworth praising and worshiping the Lord. It's, you know. To them, it wasn't nothing. You know, they said, he do that every morning. That's how he gets out the bed. But I'm like you. We don't normally get out the bed that way.
Probably wakes him up.
Huh?
It probably wakes him up, too, at the same time.
Yeah.
When I was growing up in high school, I used to get up and go outside and run up and down the driveway, you know, and wake up.
See, you had kind of trained yourself to that. You had...
been a rock star. He's so ugly.
Oh, yeah. He jumps. First thing he does, go out naked and jumps in the daggum river.
Because he lives on a lake. You know, it's cold.
Sure does.
Just jumps
in. Ozzy Osbourne?
No. It's Stephen somebody.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Hey, that'll wake you up. You don't need coffee behind that.
No. He just jumps in that lake.
It don't matter if it's winter or summer. He does it anyway.
Yeah. Oh.